Moncrief on News Talk.
Ireland, speaking of Ireland and it not being a kip, it's a temperate country. It rains quite a bit, but it never gets too hot. So why is it that we see so many people lugging around massive and often expensive tanks of water? Are they worried about imminent dehydration? Is there some desert part of Ireland we haven't heard about? Aoife Quinn is the dietitian. Afternoon, Aoife.
Hi, how are you?
Aoife, as far as you know, are the emergency departments of hospitals around the country crammed with people suffering from dehydration?
Although the weather is getting a little bit better over here, absolutely not. We're not at that stage in Ireland yet.
So what's the need for all the water then? Because it seems like almost like a panicky thing that I can't be within, you know, I have to be within a couple of inches of my jug of water or something terrible will happen.
Yeah, so there's been a huge change, I suppose, over the last even 5, 10, 20 years in terms of how we view hydration and our need to have the water with us all the time. I suppose back even 10 years ago, people were more drinking to thirst as such. So we weren't kind of aware or as conscious of kind of how important being well hydrated can be for us. So it's not necessarily an overly negative thing that people are being a lot more conscious of it. Whether or not it's going maybe a step too far, if we need to be carrying these bottles around is maybe another question and very much depends on the individual.
Yeah. Now, what can happen if you're not hydrated, or if you say the importance of hydration, were people underhydrating themselves?
Yeah, so I suppose why it's so important is adequate hydration, so fluid. It's kind of the most abundant thing in our body. So it can range anything from about, say, 45 to 70% of our total body weight will be water or fluid. In terms of if we don't have enough, what can happen is things like our ability to regulate our temperature, our blood volume, transporting our nutrients around the body, even down to transporting waste out of the body, is maybe not as efficient. But in terms of whether you kind of have symptoms of dehydration, that's going to be more if people are feeling anyway dizzy, fatigued, headaches, a lapse in concentration. And there are certainly things that people may have experienced before, even if not completely under hydrating.
Yeah. Now, is that in those cases where that happens, and I'm guessing they're relatively rare cases, does it have to be water? If you eat an orange, is that hydration? If you drink a cup of tea, is that hydration? Are there many foods that have water in them?
That is such a good question, because it does not have to be water. Although water is great, really good at hydrating us. In terms of where we get water, or sorry, fluid from across our day, food can make up quite a substantial amount of that. Anything down to, as you say, kind of those hydrating foods like some of your fruits, even the likes of, say, cucumber, your crunchy veg, and then the likes of soups and that kind of thing, alongside your teas, coffees, milk, fruit juice, they all helped contribute. So it doesn't have to be gallons and gallons of water alone.
Yeah. Now, and it strikes me a lot of this is this idea that you need 8 glasses of water a day, and that often transfers into 8 litres of water a day. How would you have time to do anything else? What do people need in hydration coming from any source whatsoever?
Yeah, so I suppose that kind of 8 glasses a day is a good kind of, say, rule of thumb, right? But if we think about kind of the different variations between people, between gender, etc. So a good kind of generic amount would be roughly around 2 litres or so for women and roughly 2.5 litres or so for men. Although not all women are the same height, weight, etc., the same for men. So how do we kind of make it a little bit more specific to ourselves? A nice way to figure out your own kind of in-around requirement for fluid is take your body weight in kilos, in kilograms, and multiply it by about 35 mils. That'll give you kind of thereabouts of what you require. If you're over 60, it's multiplied by about 30 mils. Really, though, we have so many variables that can change our requirements. So whether or not it's a warm day, whether or not you're unwell, but then also things like if you're an athlete or you've gone for a run and you've sweated a lot that day. So ways of kind of kind of checking in yourself and thinking, okay, am I well enough hydrated here? The first thing to check is your urine and the color of it. We're looking for something that's kind of a pale yellow or champagne color. Anything that's darker, it's probably a sign that you're somewhat dehydrated. Now, an exception to that is if you take some supplements like your Baraka or any of those kind of supplements, they can actually change the color of your wee as well. Right. So just be mindful of that.
Okay, so if you're peeing champagne, you're good to go. That's great news.
Exactly.
But like even, you know, most of the time people know if they're thirsty or if they might need some, what, you know, you get a sense of that in your body. Or can you be dehydrated and not know it?
Yeah, so that's actually another really good point, is that thirst element. So drinking to thirst actually could mean that you're letting yourself get a bit too dehydrated before you take action. So drinking and thirst is, so thirst is kind of regulated by your hypothalamus in your brain. So what the hypothalamus wants to do is constantly find balance within the body. But your kind of sensitivity to that sense of thirst can go down as you age. Again, when you're unwell or in warmer climates, or you're an athlete because you're expending quite a lot. So it mightn't be the most reliable source of kind of gauging whether or not you're getting what you require. Really, what you want to do is to drink to avoid thirst, as opposed to as a response to. So having a good kind of routine in place, whether it is that water bottle or just making sure you're having at least 1 to 2 glasses with every meal and snacks, that can kind of help to avoid getting to that point where you go, do you know what? I've got a headache. My mouth is dry. Oh, yeah, I haven't had a glass of water for the last 4 hours.
Yeah.
So, we don't want to rely on it alone.
Yeah. And somebody wants to know, is it okay to be drinking milk with your dinner? I mean, is that as good as drinking water with your dinner?
Yeah, so milk is actually one of those kind of super hydrating drinks and has so many benefits to it. The reason why it's so hydrating is actually got lots of electrolytes and things like that in it as well. And again, it depends on the person's kind of goals and whatnot, but the likes of low fat or full fat milk with a meal is absolutely fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But the big cups that people are carrying around, that's marketing.
It is absolutely marketing. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you drink out of. And really, in terms of kind of practicality, is it feasible to be carrying around a massive cup? Possibly not. But in saying that, whether it's marketing or not, if it helps someone to kind of prompt them to remember to drink more when they maybe aren't great at remembering themselves, sure, what harm, you know?
Yeah.
But don't feel the need to have the new trendiest kind of thing sold to you on Instagram as such.
But if you overdrink that, and it's, I mean, water now, not if you're carrying a big Stanley cup full of vodka, that's not very good. But if you overdrink water, it's no great harm to you, I assume.
So, yeah. In terms of, it is possible to drink too much, as called water intoxication. So that's when we drink more than our kidneys are able to flush out. Now, that is extremely rare and doesn't happen that often. A lot of us can deal with quite a lot of water before our kidneys start to struggle with flushing it out. Now, symptoms to look out for in case you are potentially drinking too much, things like headache, nausea, vomiting, muscle twitching can actually go even further, like blindness and things like that. But again, extremely rare. What I would say, though, is if some people occasionally will drink lots of water during the day, almost as a replacement for meals, whether they're too busy and that kind of thing, to help calm down their hunger. Whereas maybe it's not a great idea. Maybe it should be that you're planning to have a balanced meal and not just kind of keeping that hunger at bay by drinking loads and loads of water. Athletes are another one that need to be careful when they drink loads of water, because they're say if it's ultra distance marathon type of thing, they might drink loads of water because of course they're sweating, but they need to be careful that they're not kind of not getting enough electrolytes in there as well.
Yeah. Is tea dehydrating?
Not in the same way as we've been led to believe that, you know, tea and coffee, once you go past the second cup, sure, you may as well not be having anything. It's still fluid. It absolutely does still contribute. We shouldn't necessarily just be reliant on having only cups of tea across the day, though, or only cups of coffee, for a kind of multiple reasons. So coffee, we don't want too much caffeine. You'll be bouncing off the walls come bedtime. Teas and stuff in some cases can block the absorption of some nutrients from meals that you're having. So it's more kind of looking to get a good balance across the day.
Aoife, thanks so much for talking to us today. That was the dietitian Aoife Quinn there. One texter says, I carry around one of those Stanley cups as I find it great to drink from throughout the day and I want to have nice clear skin. The only issue is that the more water you drink, the more you're running to the toilet. This is a major downside. I'm only in my 40s. Any advice? Well, use the Stanley Cup if you're stuck.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.